from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Final preseason game this weekend against the Pack. Here to talk about that and more as training camp wraps up. From USA Today, the Ravens Wireless. Welcome back to the show, Kevin Allstreicher. Kevin, good morning. What is up?
Good morning, guys. Yeah, we got one more preseason game to go. The Ravens are evaluating those players, trying to figure out what their roster is going to look like, some starting positions, where they're going to go with those. So still plenty of questions to be answered.
Well, let me ask you this question, Kevin Allstreicher. If you had to choose today, and you kind of do because I'm going to ask you to do it, the five starting offensive linemen are who and what would have to change this weekend against Green Bay to alter your starting five?
I think obviously the two that are locked in for sure is, you know, those are Tyler Linderbaum and Ronnie Stanley. There's no question about that. I also think that when you look at Andrew Voorhees at left guard, I feel like he has a pretty firm grip on that job, even though there's been nothing announced yet by John Harbaugh. Roger Rosengarten at right tackle seems like a formality at this point. The big question, though, is at the right guard spot, where they've given Daniel Faalele every opportunity, it feels like, this offseason, this training camp preseason, to go out there, win that job. Hasn't been all bad. Hasn't been perfect, though. So I think that, he's a guy that in this offense, especially on that offensive line, you need to move. You need to be able to get out into space. And there were some plays in these couple preseason games where he just wasn't able to reach his guy in time, and it affected a couple of plays. But again, he has had some flashes. I think the other guy that you might be looking at is Ben Cleveland, and they've got him playing center right now because Linderbaum is still out. But apparently, yesterday there were some moments of him playing guard, according to people. So I think it's going to be interesting because this last preseason game is going to, if Faalele gets to start there, I'd assume it's Faalele. I'll probably go with him for now. I don't know my confidence level right now in that move, but I'll go Faalele. And what would need to change in order for that to be altered is probably him not having a great game, and then someone else like a Cleveland, if he does get guard reps, coming in and making an impact there. You know, it's not like Faalele is locked into that job or anything right now. So I think that's going to be one of the big questions in this final preseason game.
Kevin, you know what my question is? I mean, whoever starts in there, they're going to struggle initially because they're all kind of new guys anyhow. And they've been struggling. Like I told Bob, Atlanta had 40 guys that didn't dress, first and second teamers.
Yeah.
And we couldn't knock anybody off the ball. You know, so that concerns me. The other thing that concerns me, Kevin, is that offensively, when you try to get the 9 or 10 offensive linemen to make the team, can you get there?
It's tough. I mean, if we kind of run through it, I guess those six that I mentioned
right
are there.
That's fine. But then the last three, who you really believe in? You know, I guess Josh Jones would be one.
Yeah, McCary probably another one.
He's already included in that group.
He's already there. Okay.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, I guess it'd be Josh Jones, Saleh, and Semak, I guess, would be the other one. So, I mean, I hear you. I hear what you're saying, where this offensive line depth, when you lose three, you know, we can talk about the play of these guys. Kevin Zeitler's awesome, right? He's still one of the better guards in the league. Morgan Moses obviously had the health concerns, but still was fine when he was out there. And then John Simpson, you know, not the best guard in the world, but I thought performed a lot better than his expectations coming into last season. Those are three vets, though, that you lose, and you don't really replace those guys with other vets. So you essentially, you get two draft picks, and then you sign a vet in Josh Jones, who you're like, oh, okay, this could be the John Simpson. So I hear you, where the offensive line, if there would be a guy to go down, you really only have one or two options where you're like, you feel a little bit confident in the guy, and then the rest of it is kind of like, oh, well, this is inexperience, and this is the question, guys, and this is an offensive line thing and just a general team thing. But how much runway do you give these young players if you're the Ravens? Because they are going to go into this year with a bunch of young talent needing to play really big roles for them. And if there are struggles, and I do expect there to be some growing pains early, I think that's natural. You know, how long do you give these guys, and then who are you replacing them with? If you say, "All right,
that's the problem,"
get this guy out. Exactly.
That's the problem. There is who are you replacing them with somebody better or worse? And that's my concern about the offensive line. Now, Kevin, the other concerns I got about offensively, all right, really like third running back. Who's your third running back? I mean, is there anybody that really jumps out at you? Who's your six receivers? You know, who's your three tight ends? I mean, you're going to say Kolar, but, I mean, he can't block. You know, so, I mean, really, who's your – I mean, when you go every offensive position, there is lack of depth at each position.
Yeah, the depth is going to be, and especially at running back, when Keaton comes back, I think they'll be okay, but Keaton's going to be out for a while. They're not going to have him for a while. So if I was making a roster right now, if we're doing an early roster thing.
It's not that early. It's about a week away.
Yeah, they don't have a lot of time. Yeah, I think Owen Wright is the third running back right now. Eric DaCosta, during his tenure, has not been afraid to move off of draft picks. And, man, I'll tell you, if Rasheen Ali does not make this team, or they want to stash him on IR or whatnot or whatever it is, the fifth round has not been very kind to Eric DaCosta over the course. That's the thing, but he's not had a ton of success in that fifth round. Receiver-wise, I would still probably put Tylan Wallace ahead of Dayton Wade if you're talking sixth wide receiver right now. I think they like his special teams value, and he provides something on offense. Tight end, I would go Kolar. I think those are the three, but it's the young guys, right? Where if a veteran goes down, they're already, for example, in the wide receiver room, let's say that, you know, knock on wood, it doesn't happen, but Nelson Aguilar goes down. Well, Tez Walker, you know, was a star of OTAs and minicamp, but he hasn't really done anything. He's been injured, and you know, it hasn't been the training camp that a lot of people were hoping for. Would he be the guy to step up? Would Deontay Hardy take on a bigger role? Would other guys? It's just the depth. They have enough to get by early, but if guys struggle or guys get injured, it's going to test them a little bit. And I think that's what the wide receiver conversation, they didn't bring in anybody to compete with Bateman for that number two spot. So they're relying on his health this season and saying, can he stay healthy for most, hopefully all of the year? And if that doesn't happen, they're going to be in a tough spot. So this is where their depth is going to be tested. Their young talent is going to be tested. They believe in it, and we're going to see how it pans out for them.
I could see on the waiver wire cut down time that they add possibly a third running back. And if there's a blocking tight end that they like, I think they'll add that too. I can see them adding a couple offensive pieces.
I agree. I think in cut down day, there are always guys that you don't expect to be cut that are. And you're sitting there and you're like, oh, wow, this guy, thought there was no shot he's going to get cut. So I know that Eric DaCosta is always looking for guys to add, make this team better. I would not be shocked if they get to their 53 and then maybe add a piece or two to bolster, because they added vets late. They got guys in like Eddie Jackson, Darrell Worley, et cetera, late in the program here, which is natural for them. But I'd probably expect that they look to the waiver wire once cut down day happens to see if they can add anybody else.
Kevin Ostreicher, USA Today, the Ravens Wire, as we head into the final week of the preseason. What's happening on the Ravens Wire with USA Today, Kevin?
Yeah, just trying to get these roster battles sorted out. We're looking at stock up, stock down, who's performed well, who hasn't during the preseason so far, and then obviously with the Green Bay game coming up, previewing that, and guys that need to have a good performance in order to solidify a roster spot or even a starting spot on this group.
Kevin, appreciate the time as always. Enjoy the rest of your Turn It Up Tuesday.
You too, guys. Enjoy it. Thanks so much. Yep.
There he is, Kevin Ostreicher. Everybody, we'll come back, whip around what happened in the world of sports last night. Not a ton.
No.
We're kind of in that lull period. A lot of cool stuff happened with the Orioles historically on this day, August the 20th. And NFL news, Tua Tagovailoa, we talked about it yesterday, said some things about his former coach. We're going to play those things for you. When we come back, Ryan Ripken talk about the Orioles half game out of first, but it feels as though, I don't know, it just doesn't feel right.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Vinny and Hades with
brought to you by Fox Hill Pizzeria and Crab Cakes, the best crab cakes in Harford County.
1057 The Fan.
Vinny and Hades, 1057 The Fan. It's the whip around here on this Turn It Up Tuesday. Let's see here. Baseball news, injury wise, Atlanta Braves lose Austin Riley 6 to 8 weeks, which basically is the rest of the regular season.
Yeah.
And into the playoffs. He got plunked, broke his hand. Austin Riley, a big part of that Braves offense, already minus Acuna. Harris was out for an extended period of time. They lost Spencer Strider in the rotation. Freed was hurt. So the Braves went into this season as one of the World Series favorites. They might not even make the playoffs, and this is another blow to their chances. And then in Arizona, Ketel Marte sprained his ankle about a week or so ago, tried to come back, re-aggravated the ankle injury. Ketel Marte along with Shohei and Ozuna in Atlanta. They're like the MVP favorites in the National League, and Arizona's been on fire second half of the season, but they're going to lose Marte as they didn't put him on the IL before. They did now. So, Ketel Marte on the IL for the Arizona Diamondbacks, who are still in a pretty strong position to not just win the wild card, they're breathing down the Dodgers next in the West along San Diego. We'll get into the standings later in the show. NFL news. How about Justin Herbert back in practice?
Yeah, that's big for the Chargers.
Had the Liz Frank. Was in a walking boot for a couple of weeks, but apparently was fluid, smooth, looking like he was ready to rock and roll. Washington Commanders make it official. Jaden Daniels, last year's Heisman Trophy winner, second pick in the draft. He will be the starting quarterback for that team this year.
That's not a shock. I mean, I didn't even... Baba, ask me who the backup is. I don't even know who the backup is for them.
It's an older player, if I'm not mistaken. How's that sound?
That's fine.
But we were talking yesterday that there are a lot of national NFL writers who think the Commanders could be a sleeper team in the NFC. It's Dallas and Philly, and I get it. Philly and Dallas, whatever you prefer. But even though Philly seems to have some turmoil, because Jalen Hurts did not play all that great second half of the season. They did bring in Barkley, we get it. Giants are going to stink, I think. I mean, could Washington, if Daniels is C.J. Stroud-like, for instance,
yeah,
use a second pick comparison, maybe, just maybe, Washington could be something to keep an eye on.
Well, Washington has the only coach in the division, Bob, that's not on the hot seat.
Dan Quinn, because he's new.
Right. Otherwise, McCarthy, he is. Sirianni, big time, is. And Daboll is.
So Washington, keep an eye on them, Jaden Daniels. Now, speaking of draft picks, first-round picks, a couple years back, Tua Tagovailoa, who just got paid.
Yeah.
Came into the league. Brian Flores was his head coach at the time. He was fired, Brian Flores. And in a move at the time, we were all like, wow, this came out of nowhere. Because it looked like the Dolphins were kind of trending into this team to watch. And they made the playoffs last couple of years. But here's Tua Tagovailoa talking about Brian Flores and that relationship.
If you woke up every morning and I told you, you suck at what you did, you don't belong doing what you do, you shouldn't be here, and then you have somebody else come in and tell you, you are the best fit for this, you are accurate, you are the best whatever, you are this, you are that, how would it make you feel listening to one or the other? I don't care who you are. You have a terrible person that's telling you things that you don't want to hear, or that you probably shouldn't be hearing. You're going to start to believe that about yourself.
That was on the Dan Le Batard show, Tua Tagovailoa, saying that Brian Flores just tore him down brick for brick. Because that was the year that Justin Herbert went to pick right after him.
Right.
And at that time, and you could still make the argument that when it's all said and done, Herbert will be the better quarterback.
Mm.
But Brian Flores was obviously not a fan of Tua Tagovailoa, now the D.C. Flores in Minnesota, the Viking.
Suing the league.
Yeah.
Brian Flores is. The thing is, I mean, you got to know your players, you know, and you got to know the ones that you can yell at. Maybe like a Tom Brady, that's what you got to do to get him to go. But with a Tua, that is definitely not the way to that makes him tick. So that to me is not good coaching. And then he didn't get along with Greer, the GM, either. So, I mean, those were the two big reasons why he got fired.
And Tua's got paid. Flores, as Vinny said, suing the league. Now the defensive coordinator with the Minnesota Vikings. But Tua Tagovailoa under the microscope for different reasons, not just lambasting his former coach. You know, when's he going to take it to the next level? Because he's got, you don't think most quarterbacks in the NFL would like to throw to the receivers he has?
Yeah,
or hand off to the running backs that he's got at his disposal. But to his credit, he takes advantage of the weapons that he has. Not making them worse. They're making him better.
Yeah, and Bob, that's really a black eye for Flores. If you were considering, you know, like if he's on your head coaching list, you're like, you know, I don't know. That's going to be he's going to have to answer all those questions, and he's going to have to respond at some point.
5880, 105.7 The Fan. It's the Whip Around here on this Turn It Up Tuesday, this day in Orioles history. It is August the 20th, believe it or not, 1973, Memorial Stadium. Orioles score three runs, bottom of the ninth. Merv Rettman, fielder's choice, scores Paul Blair as the Birds stun the Twins 4-3. Doyle Alexander got the win. 1974, Orioles in 73 won the AL East. 74, same thing. 2-1 over Texas, Memorial Stadium. Paul Blair, Mark Belanger drove in runs. Mike Cuellar, complete game, 15th win of the season for him. 1983, again at Memorial Stadium, gets the Royals. Gary Renicki, Ken Singleton go deep. Mike Boddicker got his 10th win of the season. Tippi Martinez, his 13th save, 6-1. Orioles on their way to the World Championship. 1997 in Kansas City. Rafael Palmeiro, 4-for-4 with two homers, four ribbies. Jimmy Key picked up his 14th win. Randy Myers, 37th save. The Orioles, 4-2 over KC. Birds were wire-to-wire. That year got upset by the Indians, as they were called then, in the ALCS in six games. And then a year ago today, we're sitting here talking about the Orioles and their offensive approach.
Mm-hmm.
A year ago today in Oakland, how about Gunnar going 4-for-5 with a homer? How about Jorge Mateo and Mountie going deep? Kyle Bradish picked up the win, who's not part of the equation anymore. Mateo's on the IL. 12-1. Orioles over the A's a year ago today. Birds in New York taking on the Mets tonight. Dean Kramer taking on Jose Quintana. Birds lose yesterday, last night, I should say. Walk off 4-3. Ryan Ripken will be joining us next to talk about that. Funhouse Trip, Nolan McGraw. And then news from the Nest coming up at noon. Going to hear from John Harbaugh, Lamar Jackson. Ravens practicing today. Then it's off to Lambeau for the preseason finale against the Packers. And they've got a joint practice working in there as well. Up at Citi Field, Dean Kramer, Jose Quintana. Orioles get walked off last night. 4-3, bottom of the ninth. Francisco Alvarez, 98-mile-an-hour fastball, 3-0 count blasted in the left center field. And that was all she wrote. So the Orioles drop another one as they look for some level of consistency, which gets lost in it. Ramon Arias hit the home run that tied the game. Keegan Aiken was outstanding. Trevor Rogers, not so much. I mean, Hyde say? He was okay?
Yeah.
That's probably the biggest compliment he's given him since he's been in Baltimore. Yeah, he was okay. He was all right. He got us into the fifth, which is all very touching. I mean, he didn't get demolished like we have seen him before, but Bird's trying to get it together a little bit, and we'll see. We're less than 40 games left in the regular season, still only a half game out of first place. And here to talk about that is our colleague, as we said, from Baltimore Baseball Tonight, brought to you by Salvo Auto Parts, Ryan Ripken. Ryan, good morning. What is up?
What is up? Happy Turn It Up Tuesday.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I took away Sir Anthony's sir, so he's just Anthony Dominguez today after he gave up the walk-off homer. But my main vent this morning, Ryan Ripken, was with the Orioles' offense. And if you look at them post-All-Star break statistically as a team, they're still in the top five in pretty much every category, but it feels as though they're offensively challenged. So what's real and what's fantasy when it comes to the Orioles offensively here post-All-Star break?
I think what they're capable of doing, and that is about just about everything, that's real. You know, they can hit the ball out of the ballpark. They have a lot of guys that can do damage 1-9. They are a force whenever they can come up to the plate. Now, having said that, one thing that needs to be, you know, improved in my opinion, and this is more, again, this is might not be what the stats are suggesting, but I think a lot of people are picking up, it's the situational hitting. You know, it's if it's not the long ball, is it finding a way to get on? Is it in a day and age where small ball is not a thing as much anymore, how do you make something happen besides having a ball leave the yard? And look, you know, the Orioles, when they're red hot, they get going. And in games when you struggle and you hit a 2- or 3-run home run, and that can be that the spark for the game, that's fantastic. But, you know, it just seems like when the Orioles are having a tough time collectively as a team, they can't find another way to get through. You know what I mean? So that's kind of where I think the glaring, at least, part of the offense I'd like to see better, because a prime example is when the Nationals were in town. The Nationals scored 9 runs against the Orioles, 0 via the home run. And so they had 2 sacrifice flies. They stole some bases. There's other ways to try to make things happen and execute to help when you're having a tough night at the plate.
Now we talk about with the offense, real versus fake and all of this, the concerns with the bullpen back end especially are how real for Brandon Hyde right now. What are the options trying to get things straightened out with less than 6 weeks left in the season?
It's definitely a work in progress, right? And, you know, the Orioles going into the All-Star break had one of the better bullpens in the game, and since then it's really been all over the place. It's kind of not, I don't think it's fair to say imploded, because that's not fair to the players on the team. But what's happened is more inconsistencies, and it's probably because of arms are tired, a little bit more fatigued, and they've had to pitch a lot, you know? So I think that combination has definitely been a challenge. Now, they can get on a roll here, but the one thing, talking about getting on a roll, I think it also helps for pitchers to have roles. I think knowing when you're going in, I think that the Orioles are still trying to figure out who are their high-leverage pitchers, who can handle that situation. And there is a lot of by-committee approach. Now, it looks like Dominguez is going to be the closer for now, which if that's the case, I'd love for him to just be in every single role like that. But for everyone else, it's easier said than done to be able to throw it into a situation and execute. And I think we're kind of seeing that combination of dealing with high-leverage situations, but also dealing with fatigue as we approach September.
Ryan Ripken joining us, Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan, Orioles and Mets tonight up in New York. Dean Kramer taking on Jose Quintana. The Mets snipping around that wild card. National League, Orioles a half game out of first. Your confidence level, Ryan Ripken and Dean Kramer, in the second half or now the back end of the season is what right now?
I still have a lot of confidence. I'd say confidence is high, especially if it goes well in the next start. You know, because Dean's one of those guys that, and we've seen it, he can shut down one of the best offenses. I still go back to it, Bob, last year when you and I were in studio, right? And it was down at they were playing the Braves, is my memory.
That's 100% correct. Yep. It was a Friday night, if I'm not mistaken. Yep.
Yep. That's what it was. And it was a rough start for Dean to the season. And they were facing an Atlanta team that arguably that was the best offense. And Dean was tremendous. So I think the biggest thing for Dean is, can you find that form consistently here down the stretch? And I've talked to him. He says his arm feels the best that it's felt, you know, since coming back from the IL. Now it's, can you go out and execute that? And quite frankly, the success of Dean Kramer very well tips the balance for the starting rotation right now. If Dean can get into a stretch run here for the next 5 or 6 weeks, with how Albert Suarez is pitching, I know Corbin Burnes is going to be on the way back and get to back to his form. This Orioles team, I feel if Dean gets going, the Orioles are going to win the American League East. That's how big of an impact he can have when he gets the ball.
Hey, Ryan, when you're in a situation where the ump is awful, you know, and you're going up to the plate, what's your strategy when you go to the plate, and do you say anything to him? Because you see a lot of times guys look back and I'm guessing they're saying, was that outside?
Yeah, you know, it's a fine line. I've done, I think, my fair share of towing that line over the years playing professional baseball. And, you know, there's certain ways that you ask umpires, and also every person's different, right? That's you got to know who you're dealing with back there behind the plate as well. How do they handle, in their eyes, you know, criticism? You know, in some cases it's lighting a fire and going, hey, you know, that pitch is way off. That's brutal. Other cases you gotta have like, hey, I can't reach that. That's too far. I know it's a hard night for you tonight or whatever it may be, but I can't even get to that pitch. You know, so it's how you handle it. But the biggest thing is the hitter. The number one thing is you can't get rattled, because I know it's frustrating and you're flustered with the umpire, but you still got to go and face that pitcher. And you can't let that frustration then impact already, which is going to be a larger strike zone. So it's a fine line, but yes, I can't say guilty, I guess I should say. I've been guilty of losing my composure at times, and it feels good in the moment, but you have regret later on.
Now, Ryan, a couple nights ago on the TV, Palmer, one of them, was talking about when the opponent stole a base, and they said that Rutschman's velocity is down as the season goes along. Do you see that?
A little bit. For Adley, just the position that he has to play, and I think he's a little bit banged up. We've been seeing it. I think that's more of anything, is just like with every player at this part of year, there's the fatigue. So I definitely would understand why things look down. And I think it goes to, we've seen he's been dealing with the back, and just catching. This is why catching is such a hard position. It just takes a toll on your body. And I give a lot of credit to the guys that can go out there and do it for year in, year out. So, yeah, there probably is something to it. Hopefully, Adley can feel a little bit more refreshed as we get closer here. But, this is the hardest. This is truly the dog days of summer in August here. And you really got to try to battle through. Because if not, teams are definitely going to take notice of that.
Best team in the American League on August the 20th is who, Ryan Ripken?
The Houston Astros.
There you go.
There's no doubt about it. And I think the Orioles can beat any team. I truly do. And anybody can beat anybody. You guys know this. But if there's one team that scares the crap out of me, it's Houston. As always, because here they are, cruising in the AL West. Everyone wanted to write them off early, and they're the team that just knows how to win in big moments. They're slowly getting healthier, and they're playing really good baseball in the process. So Houston, to me, is definitely the team. They might not have the best record in the American League right now, but that, to me, is the scariest team in the AL.
He is Ryan Ripken, our colleague, Baltimore Baseball Tonight. I will see you at Pickles in a couple of weeks, it looks like, based on the schedule there anyway, Ryan.
Can't wait. You guys enjoy the rest of your Tuesday, and we'll talk soon.
You got it. There's Ryan Ripken, everybody. The Houston Astros, yes, they're scary right now, but still 36 games left in the season for the Orioles. You want to vent, Willis, and you want to walk us down a little bit from the I'm not in panic mode, but I'm looking at a team that's four games below 500 in their last 52 games. By the way, the slide kind of started in Houston after they won two out of three.
Yes, it did.
From the Yankees there, including that 17-5 demolition in getaway day. We'll come back. Maybe a fun house. At the very least, we'll say hi to Nolan McGraw. News from the Nets coming up top of the hour. We are going to hear from John Harbaugh. Lamar Jackson met with the media yesterday. Ravens back at it today. Coming up at 12:30, Keith Kavanaugh. Maryland football starts August 31st. We are the flagship home of the Turtles. What's that quarterback situation looking like? And you think the Ravens offensive line is questionable? Wait to hear Keith talk about Maryland's O-line. Ravens might have some decisions to make about some 2024 draft picks. Taz Walker, Rasheen Ali.
I think Tez will be okay just because he's been hurt. And like we heard Kevin say it, the OTAs and minicamp, Bob, we were talking about him all the time. He just hadn't been able to handle that rib issue, And a lot of things Thursday are going to be answered. A lot of questions that we have will be answered Thursday
practice.
With the joint, because it's going to be good on good.
So the Ravens trying to get their roster set. Same with the Packers. Green Bay has high hopes in the NFC. We're like a couple of weeks away from doing our predictions for the upcoming season, which includes division winners, the eventual Super Bowl teams, Coach of the Year, Rookie of the Year, and all that fun stuff. Vinny's Dirty Dozen, Feeble Five. That'll all be coming your way before you know it. We're still in the month of August. Orioles still have 36 games left, including tonight against the Mets. But let's bring in Nolan McGraw. Doesn't look like we'll get a fun house in, but we can always say hi to Nolan. Nolan, how you doing on this turning up Tuesday?
I'm doing all right. The Orioles, though, after last night, not doing all right. And we're four starts in here with Trevor Rogers at this point since he got traded over here. One good start, or once he pitched, I guess, well enough to give the team a chance to win. The other three, unacceptable to flat out bad. Is four starts too soon to make a sweeping judgment where you say, all right, we need to go with someone else as the fifth starter in the time being? I mean, the entire team is scuffling. It's not like you can point to Rogers as the one lone negative. And last night, quite frankly, is even him not getting through the fifth inning, was he the main culprit or the reason they lost last night? I don't even think you can say that. But
well, he didn't do him any favors early.
Sure.
They were down 3-0.
Nonetheless, when you're a team that's in the situation the Orioles are in, and you're trying to win the division because you still are in a position to do so, can you afford to have this guy every fifth day, even if he is your fifth starter? Do you even have another option to replace him? I know Cade Povich pitched well in his last appearance, but he's had quite the long resume here this season. He's had multiple opportunities. His last time out was probably his best. Majority of his starts are not good. Cole Irvin, you kind of know what you're getting with him.
Yeah, and you'd have to clear a spot on the 40-man mm-hmm. to get him back up here. Look, Rogers right now is pitching like a guy who will not be on the Orioles playoff roster if they make the postseason. Yeah. Because your four-man rotation would be Burns, Eflin, Suarez, and Kramer. You're not going to go with a five-man rotation in the postseason. You're going with what you have, I would think, especially in a short series. So I'm thinking old Trevor Rogers is a guy that's going to be either pitching out of the bullpen or just not even going to be on the playoff roster. He is 2-11, if I'm not mistaken, right? Mm-hmm. With an ERA pushing 5. So his suckage just didn't start since the trade deadline. He's been pretty bad all season long. However, he has signed for 2 more years, so the Orioles obviously see something in him that they feel as though they can correct. But remember how good Cole Irvin was early in the year?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Rogers is pitching like Cole Irvin was pitching when he got DFA. And that's not a good thing.
So here's the thing about the future with Rogers, and I agree with you, obviously they liked something. There's got to be something about his repertoire or one of his pitches that they feel like they can hone in on that and make him better. They've done it with a handful of other pitchers in recent years. Why not use this as an opportunity, at least the next month here, go to AAA, go all in on figuring out what it is we can do to fix you this year and moving forward. Let's, instead of trying to do that while balancing starting every fifth day at the major league level, let's go all in and fix it at the minor league level. And maybe by the postseason, he can be an effective bullpen arm because there's clearly spots available for you in the bullpen right now. Maybe you can find something and he can help the team this year out of the bullpen. I don't know, but he's not helping the team as a starter right now.
I think that's pretty obvious this point in time. The question is, though, your suggestion, is that something that Elias would be open to, trying to fix him for October when there's no guarantees that they're going to be in October? They're in a really good position to do so. I mean, I think their odds to make the playoffs are like 99%, mm-hmm. 98% right now. But, I mean, if he's in Norfolk for the next 6 weeks, what do you need him for? Because someone else has probably already stepped up and assumed mm-hmm. his role.
It feels like they might be waiting on Grayson to come back, and that would be the obvious move, that once he's able to come back.
Coulomb, too, in the bullpen as your lefty arm.
Well, but Povich deserves another shot.
I'm kind of right there with you.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, because what if he keeps pitching like that? Because what they say, he is limiting, you know, his repertoire of pitches. Instead of having 6, you know, he's just using 4, and he pitched great Saturday night.
I mean, at the very least, like you said, it's worthy of another look.
Absolutely.
Well, tonight, Dean Kramer tries to get the Orioles back on the good foot with a quality start against the Mets, who are fighting for their playoff lives. Jose Quintana is on the hill, tough lefty for the New Yorkers there. We'll talk more about that in the second half of the program. But when we come back, news from the NASCAR, we'll talk some Ravens. John Harbaugh, Lamar Jackson met with the media. Lamar's all about that Super Bowl ring, and I think most of you are in agreement there with 17-0. Who cares? What are you doing in January? Because we're talking about the Orioles in October. The Ravens, we assume, barring catastrophic injuries, they're going to the playoffs. Mm-hmm. But unless they get to New Orleans, even making it back to the AFC Championship game, I mean, it'd be nice.
If you lose, does nothing.
It's all about winning that Super Bowl, or at least getting to it. We're going to hear from Lamar and Harbs next here on The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.